chaotic and undignified. Infamous for its vice and depravity. And with good reason. Let it begin.
Let it begin. Come on, man, let's go.
And now,
WFOD, Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by my co-host, my partner in crime, Mr. Travis Hulse.
The show that almost didn't happen, right?
Right. Phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. We will be joined in a little bit by our good pal, Drunkard STL, on the Twitters. After the break, we are going to be joined by author Mike Suski. He has a book out, his memoir, Travis. It's called Small Town Boxer. So we're going to be talking to him about his life in the ring, Travis, in the ring. You know what I'm saying?
It's an exciting life, the life in the ring.
Travis, you ever been in a scrap? You ever thrown down, Travis?
Yeah, not like real. Usually if I've ever been in an altercation, it was either me taking one to the jaw or me, like, popping one guy in, like, the teeth, and then it's over. You know what I mean?
So you've punched a man in the face?
I got one guy one time.
Travis, it sounds like story time to me.
Well, I got him one time, and then he got me one time.
Same guy?
And then my pal laid him out on the street. Me and my buddy were out in the town, having some cocktails, walked into a bar that served popcorn.
Were you flirting with the ladies?
I don't know if there was any flirting anywhere happening. It was just kind of like the nice time, you know, just having some cocktails, being young, early 20s.
To be young
so.
Again.
Young, you know what I mean? Just young and dumb. Yeah. Full of cum, you know, the testosterone raging. But we were just having a nice time. And we walked into this tavern that we've been in plenty of times. It had a popcorn machine. And this popcorn machine was self-service, so me and my buddy, being, you know, fairly liquored up, you know, just started enjoying some popcorn. Well, it turns out there was like a high school reunion in there, so a bunch of Catholic school graduates in there hanging out. And as we were leaving, I'm not even sure if we bought a drink in there. We just walked in, ate a bunch of popcorn, and walked out. But as we're leaving, some douchebag from, like, closer to the bar said, "See you later, popcorn bitch." Like,
popcorn bitch? Oh, Travis, no wonder you punched that guy.
And you have to know that we didn't have any communication with this guy whatsoever. Like, we walked in, we're having a nice time.
So they were sitting back in the back, and they were gossiping about you. They were saying, Look at these fucking guys eating in the popcorn.
Look at all that popcorn they're eating. You know, that popcorn that's free for everybody to enjoy.
Were you, like, heavy-handed with the popcorn, Travis, to become a popcorn bitch?
I put baskets out. So, like, you know the popcorn machines? You open the little door. They got the little scoop. You scoop it into a basket with one of those little, it's a little tissue-y kind of paper that you stick in the basket. You fill up the basket. You sit back and you enjoy a couple kernels of the old popcorn.
I hear you.
And enjoy we did.
So they had pre-made baskets?
Yeah, well, they had a stack of baskets and then a stack of that old tissue paper that you put in to line the basket.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of work, but I mean, hey, it's free popcorn, right?
Okay, so the guy said, "See you later, popcorn bitch."
See you, popcorn bitch.
And you couldn't let it go, could you? You said, "Wait a minute. Who's that guy calling a bitch?"
Who you calling a bitch, bitch, is what I think is... probably what happened. Like I said, I think I was probably like 22. So I would assume it was something clever like that. You know, when you're, you know, your early 20s, you're not quite smart enough yet to really navigate the real world. I think you still have that me against the world kind of attitude.
Travis, I still have that.
Steps.
Still have that to this day, Travis.
Haven't shed that? Man in your 30s, haven't gotten rid of that yet? I feel like it's me versus the world, but I don't feel like it's me against the world anymore. I think the world's trying to crush me, so it's always like I'm always on defense. But I feel like in your early 20s, you're always on the offense, like always trying to like, hey, nobody, you're not going to fuck with me, buddy.
I'm nobody's popcorn bitch.
Exactly. So it's me and my buddy, we walk out and he, you know, I'm sure there was unpleasantries exchanged between the three of us. And he walked out, you know, much to his credit, there was two of us and one of him. And he followed us out like he was ready to go.
But why?
I don't know. He must have also had, maybe he was like you and didn't grow out of the.
Was it his popcorn?
No, of course not.
But like, what was the popcorn slight? Did you finish the popcorn off?
Oh, there was more popcorn. And it didn't matter. Even if there wasn't, they consistently kept that popcorn machine full, right? So if we would have eaten all of the popcorn, which we didn't, all they would have did was dump a cup of popcorn in that top little thing, and it would have immediately started popping popcorn again.
What a world we live in. What a world we live in, where a guy can't eat some delicious popcorn without somebody wanting to fight him for it.
This Rando, who had no stake in this popcorn whatsoever, unless he was just about to get up from the table to go eat popcorn, and as we were eating the popcorn, he's like, motherfucker, I wanted that top layer of delicious buttery popcorn.
Yeah, you know, stuff on the top is the best. It usually is.
Maybe there was a gal that he used to go to high school with that he was trying to impress or something with his clever retorts of calling random strangers popcorn bitches. I guess I can't really say for certain. But he did follow us out. I did get one on him. He did get one on me. I did fall to the ground.
So you just came straight to blows once you guys were outside?
It was probably a little bit of jaw jacking to continue out of the door. And then it was like, he probably said some shit like, come on, motherfucker, or something like that. And, I was sauced up enough to actually, yeah, okay, I'm coming on, motherfucker. And swung and got him in the you know, side of the face. He swung back in retort. He probably hit harder than I did because I did fall laughing to the sidewalk. And when I looked up, my buddy, who's much smaller than I am, proceeded to kick the shit out of this dude. Like, he fucking popped him and popped him again to the sidewalk. And then got down on his knees and popped him a couple more times.
It's not like, it wasn't a fair fight,
getting beat down, but he popped him a few times.
It never been in a fight, Travis.
It's not necessary.
It doesn't really seem very necessary. You just kind of, you know, I think that if somebody were to call me a popcorn bitch, I would just kind of like laugh it off because it's a funny thing to call somebody. And then I'd wonder, you know, I'd get into the psychology of the whole thing and try to figure out why the man called me a popcorn bitch.
But probably more from your angle, like you would like beat yourself up and like nitpick every single thing you did.
Like, what did I do?
I possibly do.
To be given that moniker. Like, what was it about me that made that man call me a bitch?
I jumped too many kernels into my mouth at one time.
Do I eat popcorn in a feminine way? Is there a more masculine way to eat the popcorn? That's where I would be at. I'd go to battle with myself, Travis. I feel
sure.
Like.
And I could see, and I would be there now. Like I said, I'm a much different person than I was 15, you know, 10, 15 years ago. So I would also cease to make any kind of weird comment back. I also might throw up the defense of, yeah, what a bitch I am, and then walk out the
then
door.
Just say, yeah, you're right. Popcorn bitching all the way out the door.
And then overanalyze everything you did for the rest of the evening and have to cut the night short because you just wouldn't feel up to partying.
I'd just be wrecked by it, Travis. Just be wrecked. Be like, that's what that guy's going to know me as forever. He's going to see my face and he's going to say, hey, that's popcorn bitch. I remember him.
The nice thing is, though, if you do actually get into a fight, he is also going to remember that time he called a couple of dudes popcorn bitch and then got his ass kicked on the sidewalk.
So he taught him a lesson. That's what you are. You go out there, you teach him a lesson, Travis, and he'll think twice next time. So that's what you are. You're an educator.
That's right. You got to spread the knowledge to the people.
So that's really the only scrap you've been in?
That's the only time I've been in like a back and forth fight.
Is it having brothers? Like if you have brothers, you probably get in fights.
That might be it. Like you're beat up as you grow. I was a single, an only child until I was like 12 years old. So, you know, I took care of my little brother rather than pal around with him or fight and wrestle around and shit. So yeah, maybe it is. Maybe it's the brother thing.
Yeah. I mean, like I had a younger sister and you know, I probably like pushed her a couple of times or something, but
of course,
I mean, you know, you don't get in fist fights or anything.
And you're not trying to see who's the strongest.
Do you think I need to get in a fight, Travis? Do you think that it's like a life experience that I need? Do you think I just need to go pick a fight with somebody? I would want to pick somebody that I probably have a good chance of beating. But then you're a bully, right?
Well, and also the problem is if you've never been in a fight before, you don't actually know by appearance if you could actually beat that person up.
Yeah, no, so I'd have to pick somebody really small.
Like almost on like borderline special needs, probably.
Like put it on a learning curve. That way, right. You know, I know I have a pretty good chance and I can just chalk it up to, you know, I'm not a bully. I've never been in a fight before. Like, well, I don't know if I'm good at it or not.
Right.
Travis, what if I'm a great fighter and I just don't know?
Well, there you probably have gyms around, like UFC gyms. I think every city probably has a bunch of wannabe UFC meatheads in there that'll probably fight you if you want.
You know, sometimes when I fall asleep on the couch, like I fall asleep with my hand on like my wrist, you know, like I kind of fall asleep like holding up my head.
Sure.
And my wrist hurts when I wake up. So maybe I have weak wrists, or maybe I've been working them out this whole time. I don't know. Yeah, I think I need to go to a UFC James.
Yeah, go to a UFC James and say, hey, buddy, try to see if I'm a good fighter or not. Would you mind getting in the octagon?
I saw Holden McGroin in chat and figured I should throw a UFC James out there because I know it'll make
the joke
growing really happy. The show almost didn't happen, Travis, because I was feeling under the weather. And, you know, we've made it about 15 minutes. I haven't coughed yet. Pretty impressed with the song, Travis. I feel like we could call it a day now because, you know, I've already done it. I've conquered my fears.
Good for you.
Travis, we will never cancel a show again now because now I have this machismo. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you can get through anything.
I can get through anything. Travis, I've been coughing my ass off for 4 straight days. Made it 15 minutes, haven't coughed a bit, you know, because I got that energy. I got that show energy, you know, is the other mic is coming out.
You're juiced by the WFOD.
See, that's what we'd have to do. See, yeah, I could win fights if we were recording it. Because that's when I got my animal instincts. You know what I'm saying, Travis?
That, you know, that's not a bad idea, is to mic you up, send you somewhere and live on air. See if you can fight.
yeah. Now I need to fight. I never felt the need to, Travis. It always seemed silly to me because I'd probably get punched in the face and probably hurt.
It does hurt.
I think about self-preservation, Travis. I think about, you know, if somebody punches me in the face, it'll hurt real bad.
Yeah, I still have a chipped tooth way back in my mouth. Like, it's not really chipped. It's almost, it's chipped. It's a couple of chips. From getting punched in the face, you know, your teeth clench hard sometimes, you know, you get popped. It's none of it's good. It's all physical damage and your body's a temple, right? Why would you harm your temple?
I harm my temple all the time when I eat the McDonald's and stuff. I just harm it in different ways, but that's kind of passive. You know, it seems right. Like, you know, you go out of your way to do silly things.
Right. You're slowly killing yourself. Like you're not going to see the effects. The cumulative effects will pile up. But fighting is immediate. You immediately bleed or swell or, you know,
hurt. You know, it's really shortening my life, I feel like, Travis. I told you about that Facebook group that Mandy from the Furnicast had me join, the podcast we listen to Facebook group.
Oh, that podcast group. Yeah, that's probably definitely shortening your life.
And Travis, there was a post the other day that I swear I just I hated with all of my body, Travis. It was a gal who said, sometimes when I listen to podcasts, I do crafts. Do you guys do crafts while you listen to podcasts? Why don't you share some of the crafts that you've been making? And so, I mean, it was very loosely tied to podcasting, because that's a rule. You have to do it, something to do with podcasting. And then all these people are sharing their crafts, and it's fine because they said, oh, well, we did this while we were listening to podcasts. And they do this all the time, Travis. I hate podcasters with all of my heart and body.
You got to separate that shit. Go to your fucking crafting Facebook group if you want to share your crafting bullshit. Like, don't shoehorn it into the podcast group.
Travis, sometimes when I listen to podcasts, I go through the drive-thru window at Taco Bell. What's your ideal Taco Bell order? Travis, sometimes when I listen to podcasts, I shop for reasonably priced car insurance. What are some of the good car insurance quotes you've gotten recently? Do you have any good testimonials for your car insurance provider?
Sometimes when I'm listening to podcasts, I'm doing it at my soul-sucking job, right at my desk there, wanting to kill myself the entire time. Where do you guys work?
Sometimes I think about suicide while I'm listening to podcasts. What way would you kill yourself?
That's the one nice thing. Like, I'm in a bunch of, you know, Facebook groups too, mostly comics and things, but they're all very specialized and they're actually very good. Like, admins are in there to crack down on the motherfuckers if they like don't post shit related to what the group is. So if it's, you know, comic collectors or a comic buy, sell and trade kind of site, like those admins will come in and they will delete the shit out of that kind of stuff. I see that podcast group is kind of just the Wild West. Anything goes.
It's kind of, I guess, because I look at them and Facebook knows what I'm doing, it gives me more of them. It seems like that has become my feed. Because I hate scroll. And I need less hate scrolling in my life, Travis. I need positive things. I need pictures of puppy dogs. Is there a pictures of puppy dogs group? You know, sometimes when I listen to podcasts, I look at pictures of puppy dogs.
Please recommend me your favorite puppy dog group. And see, that's why I did with Facebook, because I was feeling that all the time, just in general, just ignorant assholes posting things on Facebook. And I'm like, I can't do this. I can't see this. The negative Nancys who are always sharing like inspirational memes at the same time, where there's like, lift yourself up, you know, that kind of shit. Like, I couldn't handle that anymore. So because Facebook knows that I strictly want to look at comic book shit, 90% of the stuff that I see on Facebook is comic book shit. But I still do get triggered, if you want to use that word, just by the same, you know, there's 10,000 people in one of these groups, and I don't know that they think they're being original or making the same joke or making the same observation that immediately gets like it's probably because it gets like 100 comments of people just swearing at them. But sometimes I just want to, I want to comment, and I want to say something, but it's like, why, you know, why bother?
Travis, this is what we need to do. Me and you, and who is this buddy that you got in the fight with? Do you still hang out with him? Can we find him?
Yeah, me and him are going to Northern Invasion.
Oh, concert. Thank God. Okay, so you get me, you and him. I'm going to come pick you up. We're going to drive around out in the Saturn View, Travis.
Okay.
And the three of us are just going to go on a tour of the people in this podcast we listen to group, and we're going to get in fist fights with all of them. We're going to teach them all lessons about clogging up. I gotta get out of the group, Travis. I'm leaving the group tonight.
You added me to that, and I immediately, as soon as I saw like the first five posts, I was like, what is this bullshit? And immediately left the group. It was trash.
It's a bad group. And see, I'm addicted to it, like, because I know it's bad, but it's so bad that I want to know everything that goes on there.
Oh yeah.
And I need to just not have that in my life.
Yeah, I have like 2-3 people in some of these groups that, yeah, I can't stand them, but I have to look at their posts and all the comments underneath them to see what kind of nonsense bullshit they're spewing today.
See, and I probably won't ever get in a fist fight. So I'm just asking, hey, if any of you out there listening, if you hear the podcast, if me and you ever run into each other in person, just start a fist fight with me.
Give him a good old pop.
Yeah, because I need it. It would be good life experience, I believe, unless it's that Mike Suskey guy, because he's like good at fighting people. I want somebody who's like not very good at fighting people.
A little professional guy.
Okay,
fighter.
Guys, if you weigh less than 150 pounds, and like you're like 5'8 or 5'7 or something, like kind of a smaller person, fight me. Because I need the life experience.
I'll throw in another prerequisite. Like they had to have gotten their ass kicked once or twice.
Yeah, yeah. If you have like a losing record in fights, if you meet me, don't say hi or anything. Just ambush me and fight me. Because it should happen at some point, right? I can't write my autobiography one day, Travis, and never have a fight in there.
Well,
it's just going to be a series of events. It's going to be boring. It's going to be boring events.
My butthole itches, the Mike Moore story.
Travis, I went parasailing one time. That would be like the extent of my daredevil career. And you know what?
That's one more than me.
They gave me the directions, and I swear, as soon as I got up in the goddamn air, they're boating me around out in the ocean. I forgot all the goddamn directions. And so then, like, they're standing on the beach, they're trying to get me to get down, and I forgot all the directions, and so they're trying to yell them up to me, and I can't hear them. The ocean's loud, Travis. The ocean's loud. So, like, they probably should have just cut the cord and let me float off into space.
Let you go.
Say, God, if you can't remember these directions for 2 or 3 minutes. And Michelle in the chat saying that it's a bad idea to put out there to just tell people to fight me. Yeah, guys, I was just kidding. That was a bit. Don't actually. Fight me. Who cares?
Yeah, it is what it is. Who cares?
Right.
Travis, I feel better.
Travis, I can't go through life regretting. You know, I can't go through life just spending the whole goddamn time wondering why they called me popcorn bitch. You know, I just got to move on. I got to take the next hurdle as it comes. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I get it.
Travis, I made it through half the goddamn show. Didn't cough one time. I can do anything, Travis. I'm stronger than I think.
Sting, you've been 4 days in a row cough, cough, coughing. And here you are.
Other Mike.
Loud and proud.
Travis, what's going on with you? Anything? Are things good?
Yeah, I mean, well, they were. I had a good weekend. Yeah, I went out of town. We dropped kids off with the sister-in-law. She watched them for the weekend, and the wife and I went to old Madison, Wisconsin. Caught a comedy show. Saw Kyle Kinane.
I like Saturday. Kyle Kinane.
Oh, he was hilarious. It was all new shit. It was this comedy club is Comedy on State in Madison. It's a great club. We saw the Lucas Brothers there in the fall and instantly fell in love with this club. So we saw Kyle Kinane there. We were going out of town. We were looking for something. And Amy said, you know, she's familiar with comedy as much as we've gone to plenty of comedy shows. And she knows a couple of the big hitters. But she said, oh, this Kyle guy is at Comedy on State. Said Kyle what? She's like, Kyle can I'm like, Kyle Kinane, we gotta go. He's super hilarious. Like happenstance, he's there while we're going out of town. And yeah, man, I think it is converted, you know. Anybody that I'd say, hey, Kyle Kinane, nobody knows who he is, but
he's the voice of Comedy Central.
He is the voice of Comedy Central. That is it. And if you've seen any comedy in the past 10 years, he's probably made like a small cameo in it. He's been in a lot of movies for 2 seconds, but very funny guy, and the show was great. So it was a good weekend. And then also by happenstance, there was a little comic book show that I go to down there happening on Sunday. So before we left Madison, went and bought a giant pile of comic books, and it was a really good weekend. But, you know, now I'm back. It's Monday. I'm back at work. So
poor guy.
Yeah, it's kind of all the happiness is kind of just ground out of me now. So it feels like a lifetime away that this last weekend. But the memories are there. I'll hold on to those tightly until the next time.
That's all you can do.
That's all you can do.
Guys, we do the show live on Monday nights. We have for years. That's been our happenstance. If you did not hear last week, we are changing the show to Tuesday nights starting in April. So if you typically come and listen to the show on Monday live, come listen on Tuesday instead.
TGIT.
TGIT. That might be a temporary change. It might be a full-time change. I don't really know. We'll see.
We switch it up a little bit.
Right. So, and if you're a podcast listener and you don't catch the live show, then this won't affect you at all. Just keep on doing what you're doing. You're doing a good job. Right?
I feel like everybody's doing great, and at the very least, the best they possibly can.
In the chat, Anchor says a comic book show happened to be there. I smell some bullshit.
Well, you see, it is all happenstance. The sister-in-law dictated the weekend. She.
I didn't catch that, Travis. I didn't catch that. Can't slip one by old Anchor.
Nope, he'll catch it. This was the sister-in-law's idea. She will randomly want to take my children. She has no kids and loves my kids. So
it just worked out?
It worked out amazingly. Like, it was, hey, my sister wants to take the kids the weekend of like March 9th. You want to do something? It's like, yeah, please. Let's drop them off quickly. What do you want to do? I don't care what we do. And we were kind of just looking around for something to do. And it was like, oh, we'll go to Madison. We both like to go thrift store shopping. Me for selling shit on eBay, and her because, you know, she likes the thrift store shop. Everything works out good. And it just so happened that Kyle Kinane was at Comedy on State. And I looked on Facebook at this comic book show that I go to once a year in Madison. And holy shit. Can you believe it? It's on Sunday. It
so was everything's actually, coming up Hulse.
Everything was coming up Hulse this weekend. It really did work out really well. It didn't get lost in Madison once. It was goddamn Capitol's full of one-way streets and turnarounds and bullshit.
Well, there you go, Travis. So you count your lucky stars is what you do.
My lucky stars? Yeah, all my stars were aligned this weekend. It was quite nice. Got some great comic books. Filled in a bunch of gaps in my collection, which was nice. Found a couple that I'll be able to flip on the old eBay and build up that old PayPal account so I can buy more comic books.
Yeah.
Really good time. If I can't fulfill myself in my life through career and other things, I shove comic books in it to, tamper down the hate-filled rhetoric.
You feel good about that that half hour we just did, Travis? You take a break?
Let's take a break, and then when we come back, we'll talk boxing.
WFOP!
New from Amazon, the Alexa Outrage Barometer, an automated third-party source that will give you an unbiased read on whether you should or shouldn't give a fuck.
Alexa, they're selling tickets to a screening of Wonder Woman that's only for women.
The film is being shown on 3,000-plus screens nationwide. Go to a different one.
But it's sexist, right? They're infringing on my rights.
Maybe, but it's ultimately just some broads watching a shitty DC movie. It makes them happy. Why do you give a shit?
Oh. Thanks, Alexa.
The Amazon Alexa Outrage Barometer. Because there's a battle every day. We can help you choose the right ones.
Hey, fuckwads! Did you know that we're on the TuneIn app for your smartphones?
Wherever you go.
That's right, take us anywhere. Take us to the fucking mall, take us to the boat, take them in your car, do whatever the fuck you want. You can listen 24 hours a day to StrangeLabel.com. Download the app, search for Strange Label. StrangeLabel.com on your phone. Phone.
Goblets of wine are filled and refilled, and those who have ears will pay attention. Once again,
WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Style in boxer shorts and spirits, floor littered with ghosts of bottles past. There's a naked hush, clothed only in breath and a pulse of a heart that is kicking, though it is desperate to be born. Thank you. to the din outside. Good Glasgow could burn to its timber tonight. I'd barely blink an eye. Well, the clock just stopped. You can cut that into my headstone. Once something moves, so I stop staring a hole into the foam. You can get me at home with a drink to ill health. Just me in these walls and a beaten up chair on Boxing Day.
Guys, welcome back. Our guest tonight is a former pro boxer and bodyguard, current author, whose memoir, Small Town Boxer, can be purchased through Amazon or BoxerMike.com. Mike Suskey is on the program. Mike, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, Mike, I'm doing pretty good, man. You have a book out. It recounts your life up until this point. Do you kind of feel now that you've written your life story that nothing can happen to you now because it won't be in the book?
Yeah. Well, a lot of stuff happens to me all the time. I just got in a street fight with my neighbor and broke his jaw. I mean, just countless stuff like that.
Like your next door neighbor?
Yeah, I'm always busy. Let's just say that.
What was the disagreement over, Mike? What did you guys...
Okay, do you remember a little bit ago how they said there was a flying saucer going over Phoenix? Going over all west?
Mike, you didn't get in a fight with your next-door neighbor over flying saucers, did you?
No, but he was in the road filming it.
Oh.
And I went by him, and he didn't get out of the road. And you know, I went around him. I was being cool, right?
Right.
I went by him, and he started talking smack to me. So I got in my car. We had some words, and he paid for it, I guess you could say.
Well, it seems like the book has a pretty common theme of you got in a lot of fights in your day, Mike.
I still do. I'm 47. I'm 47. I'm still knocking guys out at 47.
But what is it about fighting that is so appealing to you? What is it that is...
I just, you know what? If you're going to get my face and talk smack, you know, a lot of guys think they can do that.
Is it because you're a big guy and, like, you're people know that you're a boxer. You were Donald Trump's bodyguard in the early 90s. And I guess people know that about you. Is that, like, do they size you up when they see you and they say, oh, yeah, I could kick that guy's ass? And
well, you know, back in the day, yeah. But, you know, like, this neighbor really didn't know me. He's around the corner from where I live.
Well, he knows you now, huh?
Yeah. He called the police. And the first thing the police did when they come to my house, they had helicopters going over the house looking for me. They finally figured out where I lived. And, and then the first thing the police asked me if I was a boxer. must have busted him up a little bit.
So it's the challenge of it. I've never been in a fight, Mike. I've never been in a fight. Travis has only been really? In one fight, and it was because the guy called him a popcorn bitch.
Yeah. Well, the guy was, like I said, he was in the road. I went by him. I went around him. Some bitch wouldn't move out of the road. I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, he's filming the thing. And, you know, I was going to leave it at that, but then he started running his mouth. And apparently he thought I come too close to him, you know, and he wasn't moving. So what the hell, you know?
So
I went around him.
As I said before, you were a former boxer. You were Donald Trump's bodyguard for a period of time. The thing that that was in your bio that I don't think gets a lot of play is, what's this patent with the... Do you have, like, a urinal splash guard patent?
Yeah, it was urinalsplashguard.com. Look it up, Urinal Splash Guard. It's the best urinal screen ever made. I made a urinal screen with filters, that cross-section filters, and the rods are made like knives, so it kind of cuts the urine. So, and you can piss like a racehorse in it, and there's no splashback whatsoever.
So it keeps it off of your pants, or does it have the little cake in it to make it not smell?
It disperses the urine, you know, right through the filter. And then usually the filter lines up with the drain, so it just filters the urine right down into the drain.
Is it a good enough filter?
Urinal Splash Guard, you can bring it up. You got a computer. Look it up. UrinalSplashGuard.com.
Is it a good enough filter where you're able to drink the urine when done?
No. It's different.
Like in water world.
Like a filter that disperses the urine from splashing on you. Not a filter of germs.
No. Okay, so it's not a filtration system. It's just a filter.
No. It's like I said, it's rods set up like a filter, I guess you could say, and all the water you drink was urine at some point anyway. So
that's true.
I guess you could drink it.
Is this
dinosaur piss?
If a guy was suffering from the old kidney stones and he wanted to collect them and save them for the future to be like, hey, I passed this thing, would that filter catch these stones?
I mean, if their stones are big enough, sure.
All right.
When you're boxing and you got the big gloves on, do you have a guy with you that'll scratch your nose for you? Like if you have an itch on your nose?
You just rub it with your gloves. You usually got Vaseline on your nose when you box, so I don't, with Vaseline on your nose, it don't itch.
Yeah, that's the problem I feel like is what if you have an itch on your nose?
Well, you know what? When you're in the ring fighting, you got them gloves on, that's the last thing you're going to think about is your nose.
So the book is very detailed. It goes through like your entire chronology. And I was thinking about like my life and like if I were to write my memoir, and I don't feel like I could remember all the things that did you journal growing up or something? Or how? Because I mean, you also mentioned that, you know, due to all of the punches to the head you had some like brain damage over the years. And I'm wondering like how you have such an incredible memory to remember all these things that happened to you.
That's all I had. That's all after I retired, I had nothing, man. I was flat on my back. You know, I got KO'd or stopped my last fight, and I got TKO'd, and that's all I had was memories, man. So that's all I thought about. I'd rehash how I could, you know, the opponents I lost, I could beat. You know, I was just good or better than them. I just fought dumb fights. And so anyways,
you fought dumb fights at what? You like you weren't ready for, or?
No, I just different. I, you know, like the first guy I lost to, that pretty much ended my career. My first loss. I mean, I had some wins after that, but I was never felt the same. You know, whatever the magic I had was gone. I didn't go at him. He's a real tall guy. I should have went right at him. And instead, I stayed on the outside. You know, I was a good boxer. I could flip punches and counter punch. But this dude, you know, he's pretty good, so I needed to get up on him and stay on his chest. Now, had I done that, I would have beat him easily, but I kept on the outside, and he was a big puncher, man. He almost had all knockouts. He had all knockouts but one fight, you know. He had a decision in one fight. So, he's a big puncher, and he's real rangy. So, you got to go in on them guys and stay on their chest. And I sit on the outside like a dummy, so... Yeah, you know, and I paid for it.
And I saw in the book you mentioned that you were boxing while you had your job. Now your job working for Trump was when he came down to Florida to party. So like you worked in
Mar-a-Lago,
Florida,
yeah.
And you just hung out at Mar-a-Lago when he would.
No, he would come down. He'd come down for months at a time. You know, in the wintertime.
Oh sure.
But Yeah, for the most part, you just come down on the weekends.
So and, you were like, you know, seasonal help.
Day weekend. No, I was there 24/7. But when he was there, I was his personal bodyguard. And then when he wasn't, I was pulling 12-hour security shifts.
And during all that, you were still boxing, and they read out your credits when you'd come out, and they'd say, "This next boxer is also Trump's bodyguard, and that was like your gimmick.
I fought main events, and Trump would buy ringside tickets to my fights down there, and he's a big boxing fan, and we always talk boxing, and so yeah, everything was good. I mean, I had the life down there, man. I didn't want to leave. I had the life, dude. You couldn't imagine the life I had down there. It was insane. I was getting a little scared toward the end. I was hanging out with some real crazy people, and we're doing really bad things. And I was always worried about getting popped and getting locked up, you know. So that weighed on me quite a bit. And that's one of the main reasons why I got. South Florida was crazy back in the late 80s, early 90s. That shit was nuts.
Were you down there when OJ moved to Florida after his whole spiel?
No, I was way before that.
Long gone, huh? Yeah.
Right. OJ moved to Florida?
Yeah, that's where he made that horrible rap video when he was trying to escape California because everybody was like coming after him after he didn't kill his wife and shit. He moved to Florida and then he went to Vegas and got arrested.
OJ made a rap video?
Oh, you got to look it up. You got to watch that OJ. There's like an ESPN, like 4 or 5 part thing. And after everything went down, OJ moved to Florida and was starting to hang with a bunch of gangsters and shit and was dressing like Flava Flav a little bit. And he made a rap video. And I want to say he sampled like there was like a reoccurring theme about I got away with it or some shit like that. It was just it's ridiculous. Wow. You got to look it up.
I didn't watch the thing last night, but I DVR'd it so I could watch it later, the OJ thing. Apparently,
was OJ thing last night? New
apparently
OJ thing?
He says the word hypothetically a lot in it, Travis.
Oh, yeah, I saw snippets of that with him saying it. Yeah, yeah. if I would have done it, right? Yeah, no.
I went out to L.A. right after that happened, dude. And it was sketchy, man. You could feel it. I mean, you could feel the tension, man. Race relations were awful.
Now, I can't remember. What was the timeline? Was that pre or post Rodney King? The OJ thing. That was pre Rodney King, right?
No, it was post.
It was a post Rodney King. That's why
Rodney King. Yeah, Rodney King was sketchy as hell too. Yeah.
So, Mike, are you wealthy off these splash guards? Is a splash guard a big seller for you?
No. I had a $2,700 order. It's probably the biggest one I had. I didn't have the capital to back up all the marketing for it.
You gotta get on Shark Tank. You gotta get on Shark Tank.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I just got sick of the urinal. This bar, man, me and my crew used to go to downtown Flushing. It was called Kathy's. It was just like a little restaurant, and they had a bar in the back. We'd hang out there. And one night, man, no matter how you piss in this urinal, it'd splash back on you, man. So I come down, right? The bathroom was up a huge flight of stairs. This is crazy, man, because we used to get like drunk in that bar. And there's a massive flight of stairs up to the bathroom. And I'm thinking that's like a lawsuit waiting to happen. Anyways, so I come down, I was like, that fucking urinal, man, every time I piss in that urinal, it splashes back on me. Every guy in my crew said, you know shit, because we all piss in the toilet, man. They had a stall right next to it. Every one of them said, yeah, man, we piss in the toilet. And then my little light went off. My old man was an inventor. He invented a bunch of shit. He had a bunch of patents. So it was just a natural, you know, thought for me to say, hey, man. Then my next thought was like, some dumbass is going to figure out how to eliminate the splashback. You know, make some money.
So do you think I need to get in some fights, like for some life experience? Do you think it'll give me perspective?
I don't know. It depends on, you might get your ass kicked. So you might not want to.
See, but do you feel like if you get your ass kicked, that's still perspective, though, right? You learn from your losses, don't you?
Yeah, you learn more from your losses for sure. But you're not going to be a fighter, man. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Some people just aren't.
You want to go through your life and never been in a fight. I got locked up once. I got locked up, had a bunch of charges. And I was kind of glad I got locked up. I thought it was like a pretty cool experience, man.
Mike. And you got locked up only one time for beating the shit out of all these guys?
No.
Mike, you beat up your neighbor like yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I never, no, like I said, all the cops even asked, you know, they asked me, are you a boxer? Because that dude was really messed up. I'm like, yeah, I box a little bit. They're reading me the ride. The way it went down, the guy kept following me back to my car. You know, he had some words, and I was going back to my car. And I was like, man, I told the guys, I'm going to knock him out. If you don't get out of my face, you didn't get out of my face, I knocked him out. He was threatening me. And he kept following me to my car. And the kid was honest. I guess he told him the same story.
They probably gave you the benefit of the doubt because he was talking about space aliens and shit.
Well, no. Everybody was freaking out, man. It wasn't the cops were too. That shit was crazy out here.
You probably
looked
really
like a flying saucer.
And you probably really did teach the guy a lesson too, because in this day and age, he's lucky that you weren't like a gun-toting weirdo who was going to pull a gun instead of beating the shit out of him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, everybody can. You can carry a gun out here, conceal it if you want. There's no laws, man.
Well, that's up how you. That's how you got your Trump job, is they took away the Trump guy's guns.
Yeah, he was in bankruptcy and on the chopping blocks were armed guards in Palm Beach.
And so he got rid of the armed guards and just got some tough guys.
Yeah, you know, the threat in Palm Beach was, you know, Trump's a big dude anyways, man. Trump towered over me.
So in a way, you're kind of like Andy Griffith. He never carried a gun. You know, he just demanded respect.
We carried stun guns and tasers and that, but no, not a gun. I didn't.
It's not much like Andy Griffith, man.
He took some dudes, some models come in, right? We'd send a Greyhound bus to Miami and all the models would get on it. And whoever the models vouched for get on that bus. It was crazy, man. You wouldn't believe. We're talking about Miami models. So they're eccentric as hell. And then, like, their best friends.
So the guys would go pick out all the attractive gals. And then whoever the attractive gals also wanted to bring, they just wanted to get the attractive gals and they let other people come, too.
It was insane. Like I said, the modeling agency would tell the models, hey, get on the bus, you can bring whoever you want. So a lot of times they'd bring their parents or their boyfriends. And so these two models, they both were models, big-time models. And Trump, I guess, took the guy's girl right in front of him. And the kid was, you know, it's late at night, and they're going out back to the bus, you know, out back to back gate to get back on the bus, go back down to Miami. We're up in Palm Beach. And the old boy figured out his girl wasn't coming. You know, she's staying the night. And that, you know, poor, I kind of felt bad for the kid, but the kid was running his mouth right off the bat, too. The kid was rubbing me wrong right off the gate.
Well, yeah, it's his girlfriend. Anyways,
no, but he was running his mouth before that.
Oh, Mike, I think I'm on that guy's side so far.
So the kid figured out his girl's name, and he come up on Trump, and he's cussing Trump out. And then Trump goes, oh, wait a minute. He goes, This is my friend here. He goes, this is national champion boxer and national champion weightlifter, which I never said that. I never told Trump I was a national. You know, you can tell I lift the weights, but I never said
boxing wasn't
that.
Good enough.
Yeah. Well, Trump's adding on, right? So Trump's talking me up, and then he goes, anything else you have to say, you say it to him. And so I looked at the kid. He's a big stud. You know, he's a big time model. I said, get your ass on that bus, boy. And he turned around and got on the bus.
Oh. That's
the closest I've ever come to having to beat somebody up for Trump.
All because he stole your girl.
Yeah, right in front of you, man. If he wasn't such a prick, I'd probably feel bad for the kid. But the kid was being a dick, man. He's running his mouth.
And that gal, she gave up something special for one fleeting evening with fame.
Dude, that gal,
Mike,
was so beautiful.
And one evening with Trump, and she gave up a perfectly good relationship. It's a shame.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, she's probably better off.
Fame is a fickle mistress.
You're talking about Florida. Nobody gives a shit about
cigarettes
anything.
Cigarettes and coke.
Yeah.
Cigarettes and coke. That's all they did.
So you're out there in Mesa, Arizona. You're doing the personal trainer thing now.
Yeah, I own a gym. I own a little studio gym.
Yeah, have
people up all day.
Book out. It's called Small Town Boxer. Get it from BoxerMike.com or Amazon. Mike,
yep.
We appreciate you hanging out with us.
I think really quick before we let you go, the most important question to close this out is that guy, that neighbor, the guy you popped him in the jaw. Did you fuck up his UFO video, Mike? You think he was able to salvage the video?
He stopped filming before I hit him, so who knows?
That's probably good. That's probably a really good thing.
Yeah.
Mike, thanks for hanging out with us, buddy. Take care.
All right, be cool, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Travis, I like Mike.
I like Mike, too.
He was okay.
Yeah, Travis, yeah, I like Mike. He likes to punch people in the face. What are you going to do?
Travis, I don't understand his lifestyle, Travis. I don't understand it, but...
It works for him.
Works for him. You know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
And you know, now, like, see, I can tell people that like, I'm pals with a former top 10 boxer and Trump's former bodyguard. So that way nobody will fuck with me.
That's right. Right. Hey, I'll call my buddy Mike. If you got anything to say to me, you can say it to him.
It's all about the connections you make. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's way more important than who you impress. It is who you know.
I think so. Just whip out that old Rolodex and say, who do I got for this situation?
Yeah, who can I manipulate their credits to my advantage?
I think that's everybody, right? Like, I think we're all in some way, shape, or form doing that. Like, do I know anybody for this situation? I'm gonna manipulate that for my own gain.
I don't know. Travis, I'm very disappointed in Drunk's participation the last couple of weeks. He's doing a bad job, Travis.
Well, he's just sitting there silently. You know, he's not saying shit.
I know. He's just sitting there. He's giving us all the silent treatment. He's been sitting here for like 3 weeks. He's not saying anything to us. I don't know what he's doing.
Skulking. Skulking in the corner.
Skulking. Skulking? Is that a word? Skulking?
Not probably. I don't think I made it up.
Yeah. Well, what do you think?
Well, you know, I think...
You know, Travis, sometimes sometimes when I listen to podcasts, I listen to music also.
What's your favorite song?
You know, I listen to both of them at the same time. I try to get the podcast to match up with music. You know,
see if you can pull a Pink Floyd, Wizard of Oz kind of situation so you can jump on the internet and be like, hey, the Macaulay Culkin episode of WTF syncs up perfectly to this Kesha song.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, it goes through the full range of emotions. It really adds an added element to it. You know what I mean? Guys, what are some of your favorite songs? Please share. Tell us some of your favorite songs you like.
I mean, Black Motherfucker by Prince. I like that song. Morning Papers by Prince. I like that song. Gold by Prince. Like that song.
Travis, Mike...
Dream by Prince. I like that song. Get Off.
Mike, in his book, used the term man card a lot of times. I heard the term man card used in Mike's book.
In what way?
And I don't know what a man card is or if I have one.
Was it I pulled my man card or I pulled their man card?
Yeah, something in that context, yeah. Maybe that we'll have to ask him about that in the sequel interview.
It's the second book. The rest, the more fights.
Man card. Hi, Drunk.
Hello.
Drunk, I mean, the show's over, you know.
I'm trying, buddy. I'm sorry.
Drunk, do you have a man card? You seem flustered. Catch your breath. Calm down, Drunk. It's fine.
What does it mean if I pull your man card,
Drunk? Like, if I were to pull your man card, Drunk, what did I do?
I guess that means nothing to me.
Drunk, have you ever been in a scrap?
I'll fight you.
You want to fight?
I'll fight you, Mike.
You'd probably beat me, though.
I was listening. I feel like I check all your boxes. I'm like 5'7", 5'8". I have a losing record in fights.
Do you?
Yeah.
Have you been in a lot of fights?
Well, I mean...
You're so out of breath, Drunk. Calm down.
I was...
He was just on a flight on the way over here.
Drunk ran here to fight me, Travis.
On the way over here.
Drunk ran over here because he wanted to fight. I feel like if I was going to win a fight with Drunk, I'd have to fight him right now.
Use your fucking window.
Using it to my advantage.
So, I mean, I was a high school wrestler for 3.5 years.
Yeah, it doesn't count, does it?
I mean, it's a controlled fight.
You're like flopping a guy.
And I mean, I was like 12 and 60, so that's like not
12
good.
And 60 is a bad record.
Yeah.
Drunk, that's a bad record.
You beyond like 10.
I mean,
like, didn't you know immediately that you were not good at that?
Well, I almost...
You know what, Travis? The only way I'd be impressed with that is if, like, he won his first 12.
And then fucking just fell apart.
I almost won my first one, and then I went winless all of freshman year. That was bad. And then I progressively got better, you know.
Why didn't they kick you off the wrestling team? And they say, Drunk, you lose all the time.
They don't kick anybody off the wrestling team.
Like a fisticuffs, like a fracas.
So back in the day, me and the crew, if you will, we used to have this like
fight club,
kind of.
Drunk, you had a fight club,
and the rule was like no blows to the face, but everything else was fair game.
Travis.
Yeah,
and I went 1 and 2 in those. So
I'm looking up what episode this is.
How do you go down in a like a friend fight club?
Travis, well, this is the 344th episode of the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program, Travis. And we're just now learning that Drunk was in a friend fight club.
Right.
Was this around the time that the movie came out that you guys were all like, yeah, that looks great. You see how Jared Leto got his fucking face pummeled in so bad?
So this was probably between like 05 and 08 or so.
That's fairly recently, Drunk.
05 and 08? Holy shit.
Travis, I'm starting to think that Drunk's actually going to fight me.
I'll fight you. You can periscope it. We can put it out for the pod.
Drunk, I don't want to fight.
Is this fight club bare fist or did you do boxing gloves?
No, bare fist. And I mean, usually it ended in some sort of submission.
We tried that one time, like some friends of ours, like my best friend in like junior high school. We had a couple of friends. We used to all smoke a lot of weed and come up with great ideas. And they lived in a duplex and they got a couple pairs of boxing gloves. We got all smoked up and started drinking and thought, you know, it'd be super fun if we went out in the garage and started fighting. And I'll tell you what, high and drunk and boxing gloves, none of those things go well together because even though it was agreed upon that we were going to box each other, emotions still flung around.
Well, at least you used the boxing gloves and not the soccer boppers, because those things are terrible.
I didn't use a boxing glove when I punched a hole in their duplex wall, though. So that is probably a mistake.
Travis, the first DixCon, we're gonna have it in a centralized U.S. location.
St. Louis, perfect.
And everybody's just gonna fight. If you come into DixCon... we're scrapping.
So a little bit of a melee is what you're saying. Yeah.
So you got to do it like it's like programming for DixCon. It was going to be like between 2 and 4 in the Eagles ballroom is where we're going to have our fight club.
Between 1 and 2, meet Travis. Between 2 and 4, fight Drunk.
Should we have an octagon?
No.
Yeah, we're going to have a square circle.
No, we're just going to have a crowd of people. Surrounding it like a dance circle.
Nice, and we'll just do it on like a basketball court.
Yeah.
It'll be like the scene in any ridiculous comedy movie where it's all built up upon this one fight and everybody's just around the fight that's happening.
Do you think I need that for life experience, Drunk? Do you feel better for having been in your fight club?
I mean, it'll help you if the real thing ever comes about.
Oh, you know? So you're ready for it?
I feel like I could be.
You could be ready to throw down?
Right. Like, I've never gotten in a bar scrap or anything, but...
So, I just need to do what Trump did and just hang out with you more.
Well, not me.
I mean, you'll fight people for me, won't you, Drunk? We're friends.
You know who will fight people for you for sure is DJ Pauly Deuce Knuckles.
Oh, he fights
people. He's always itching to get in a fight.
You think I picked the wrong horse.
Yeah.
I should have really stuck with old Paul.
Now, he isn't settled down either. He's still he's like a Mike Suski. He just wants to fight a motherfucker.
Oh, I mean, I feel like since he's had kids, he's calmed down a little bit. But if you ever say, "Hey, Paul, fight," he's rearing to go.
So this is what happens.
You know, he reads all the jiu-jitsu books and watches all the UFC fights. And
okay, so this is what happens if he is by nature a guy who wants to fight. He might seem like he calmed down because he had kids and he feels it, but fucking deep inside, he's got a trigger and he wants to. Yeah, he's just boiling inside to beat somebody.
Oh, he's ready to kick somebody, like physically kick somebody. And then grapple and submit them, basically.
And then go buy diapers for his kid.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Mike Suski's book, it's interesting. I suggest you check it out. You know, he talks about his time at the Mar-a-Lago resort. He talks about his boxing career. It's interesting. If you're into that kind of stuff, check it out. I liked Mike more than I thought I would, Travis.
Right? What's that? Was it like worldsbestjournal.com or something? What was that URL?
I don't know.
Listen back.
Yeah, rewind back, and when he says the web address, go to that web address.
See if you can beat his big order that he said he had, that $2,700. Buy $2,800.
Apparently, he has the world record for the most punches thrown in a round.
Really?
There's like 88 punches in one round.
All of this amounts to don't fuck with Mike Suski.
Right. Don't fuck with him. Don't really, like, be around him, I would say. Like, don't videotape things around him. Don't. Talk to Mike Suski on Skype.
Yeah, somebody's trying to take your girl, just let him if Mike Suski's around.
Yeah.
How did you know I wanted the purple one?
What are you talking about? Oh, you're talking about our little microphone hats.
I love it.
You love it? Is that your favorite?
That's my favorite color.
You like purple better than the we got a orange or blue or black? You like purple?
Is that black or is it navy?
I don't know, Trunk. This is an interesting radio. Have we missed anything from you the last couple of weeks? Is there anything you want the people to know about? Like, did any events happen in your life?
Nope.
I'm drunk. I did want to talk to you about these billboards I'm seeing about the mattress places.
Okay.
You had an opinion on that when I brought it up.
Sure, yeah.
The mattress, there's these billboards that are popping up all over the area that say mattress stores are greedy.
Okay.
And I said, you know, I don't know what the mattress stores are greedy sign is, but I found it interesting that you know, there's places that there's mattress stores across from mattress stores. And it's the same goddamn mattress store. There's so many mattress stores and there's never anybody in the mattress store. Okay. Is that what the mattress stores are greedy billboards are about?
I think the mattress stores are greedy billboards have to do with more about the margin of what they sell the mattress for. So a normal.
Is it a conspiracy?
No.
It's not?
No. So let's just say you run a restaurant, right?
Right.
You buy your pound of bacon for $2, right?
That's pretty cheap for bacon, but okay.
You're going to sell that bacon for $6. Because, I mean, you got to make your money, right?
You mean like, you know, when I take it off and cook it up and put it on sandwiches.
Right.
Yeah, labor.
Absolutely. So, I mean, it's basically the same deal with the mattress stores. So, I mean, the mattress stores are greedy billboards are saying, hey, you're paying too much for this.
So, like, they go to Serta and they buy a bunch of mattresses.
No, they have their own mattresses.
Casper? Casper.com? Casper mattresses?
This would actually be Tuft and Needle that are doing these billboards.
Tuft and Needle?
Tuft and Needle.
Oh, they're the ones making the billboards.
Yeah.
What do? They sell mattresses?
They sell their own mattresses.
It's a bunch of bullshit.
They only have three of them, and you can't try them before you buy them, and their return policy
sucks. See, the billboard is very minimalist. It's just a black bit. Travis, do you have these billboards?
They're almost like the billboards that said just say Jesus on them.
Right. And you say, oh, Jesus. Yeah, but no, this is just, it's a black background, has white lettering, just says, mattress stores are greedy. And then there's like a real short little web address at the bottom. And I guess
isn't
you go
that
to that.
Isn't that what that Francis McDormand movie was about?
That was three billboards. This is a whole bunch of billboards. Travis, there's so many of them.
Mattresses on one are Mattress Stores on one, R. Grady on this, you know, second and third.
Yeah.
Sam Rockwell won an Oscar for that shit.
Right. No, no, it's not like that, Travis. Apparently, it's just a viral marketing campaign. See, because it piqued my curiosity, because, you know, I've been wondering about these mattress stores for a long time. I see mattress stores across the street from mattress stores. It's the same goddamn mattress store. And I don't know why there's so many of them, Travis, because there's never anybody in them. There's never anybody in them, Travis.
There's a Walgreens on every corner, too.
There's more people in them than you think.
In the mattress stores?
Yeah.
Fuck that. Go to Lisa.com. For every mattress purchased, they donate one to a homeless shelter. And they'll ship it to you, to your home, in a box the size of a mini refrigerator.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet maybe that's what that Tuft and whatever. Maybe we need to get them on the show, Travis, and ask them what the hell they're doing.
Oh, just as a sponsor would be nice. I could use a new mattress, and I'm too cheap to go buy another one.
You think they'd send us a mattress if we said it enough times, Travis?
I'd certainly like one.
What was it, Drunk?
Tuft and Needle.
Tuft and Needle.com. Mattress stores are greedy.
For all your mattress needs, Tuft and Needle. I've been sleeping on the same mattress for 17 years. Hook a brother up.
How long are you supposed to sleep on a mattress before you get a new one?
I think like 10, right? You're supposed to, I think 10 max, and you're supposed to flip them a couple of times in there.
According to a certain company, it's eight.
Eight, well, a likely story for them. They want to sell you a new mattress.
Right. Same as those goddamn oil places that tell you got to change your oil every year.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just like the shampoo companies, wash, rinse, repeat. What do you need the repeat for?
You didn't get it enough the first time.
Hey, Holden McGroin put it in the chat room. It's urinalsplashguard.com.
I pulled it up, and they're actually very reasonable, and it's a product that's made in the United States of America, because CEO of Suska Industries, Mike Suski, says that he will not have his product produced in China and will always be American-made. So urinalsplashguard.com for all your urinal splash guard needs.
It looks like a decent splash guard.
It does look like a nice splash guard, actually. It is really well-designed.
Have you ever peed on somebody in a restroom?
Peed on someone?
Yeah.
I peed on a guy's face, but that was camping. But no.
And intentionally?
Yeah. No.
And it was during sex.
No. No. Why? Have you?
Yeah. I've peed on somebody before.
You mean like you were peeing in a urinal and like your pee came out and got then on somebody else?
A little bit of the double stream action and right stream just.
A rogue stream?
Landed right on the guy's
foot.
Why
does that happen, bro? Why did that happen?
I'm not a doctor.
Is it hard living?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
he had a half a chub. That's why.
Had something stuck in there.
I guess so. Yeah.
Travis, Drunk Fight Club. I feel like there's more there. We're gonna have to explore this again later on down the road. What was your record in Drunk Fight Club?
One and two.
You only had three fights?
Yeah.
Who did you fight?
I fought.
Or can you not name names?
All right. Well, I mean, I couldn't name names, sure. I fought Mark Lang.
Mark Lang, he's tall and skinny. I think you could probably take... Why could you not take Mark Lang?
I had him for most of that fight, but he wore me down, and then he finally got me in a headlock.
How did he wear you down? What did he do?
He laid there with his hands over his face, and I just kept beating the fuck out of him, and then I wore myself out, and then next thing you know, his big old lanky arm comes...
Floyd Mayweathered you.
Yeah.
I was going to say, or like a Rocky Balboa move. Just take the punches until you
He gives the old rope-a-dope. And next thing you know, I'm breathing heavy, and then fucking takes his big old lanky arm and pops it over my head. And
So you can't punch people in the face? That was the rule?
Yeah, and I'm full mountain. Trust me, he would have been, if it was a regular fight.
Did anybody break the rule?
No.
No.
And then I fought Tom Potts.
So was it more of a wrestling?
I fought Tom Potts, and that was thorough. He
beat you pretty bad. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he pushed me around a little bit back in the day.
And then I beat my buddy Day-Day.
You beat up Day-Day?
Yeah.
That was your one win?
Well, I don't know if you remember Day-Day or not.
I don't know Day-Day, no. Do you think that he carries that with him, that he was your one victory? You think sometimes... Did Day-Day have a winning record beyond you? Did you just catch him on a bad day?
Day-Day lost all the time.
Oh, poor Day-Day.
But, I mean, he was kind of one-legged.
He only had one leg?
Well, I mean, he had two legs, but...
Travis, help me here. Travis, there's so much more to this. You know, when you deal with drunk, you kind of got to pry it out. Travis.
He's like an onion. You got to peel back the layers.
His one win came from a guy named Day Day, who has one leg, but he has two legs, but he only has one leg.
At one point, his knee went the other way, so he had to wear this like brace.
He had magic legs.
That sounds like a villain in an Unbreakable.
It was just like this plastic piece that he had to stick in his shoe every day.
His leg didn't buckle?
Yeah, basically.
So he was a hobbly guy.
But with that being said, he was like 6'6 and easily 250.
Did you use his weakness to your advantage?
Oh, of course. First thing I did was kick the fucking knee.
Right. So, I mean, if he said you go back to a...
He's a foot taller than me. I had to put him down and bring him back to my level.
Friend fight club today. And you found out that, like, one of the guys had a food allergy.
Giving them peanuts all day long.
I mean, like, you'd, like, rub some of that on your fists, wouldn't you?
You shove blueberries right down his throat.
It's the way you fucking do things. You use their weaknesses to your advantage. Smart, drunk. See, you're street smart.
Absolutely.
Allergic to bees? Fling a basket full of bees in his face.
So if you're allergic to bees, does that also make you allergic to honey?
You know, I don't know the answer to that.
Ooh, that's a good question.
I would assume probably not, right? Because, I mean, it's a different thing. But there's probably, like, bee... like legs and stuff in there and stuff, right?
I would think so.
You know, isn't honey bee vomit, right?
And I believe stung. It is, yeah. But it's, yeah, bee vomit.
So you're getting stung by their ass spike. And, yeah, I think you'd be safe with honey.
We need to
investigate that.
Wikipedia Brown and find out the answer to that. Drunk, do you have what you'd say is a pick of the week? Something you want the people to know about?
Of the week is popcorn. It's delicious. You can eat it at any time.
Would you say you're a popcorn bitch?
No, I'm not a popcorn bitch. It comes in multiple flavors. You can get with cheddar, caramel, chocolate. Popcorn's delicious.
It's true.
Travis, pick of the week?
Travis's pick of the week would be, live comedy. Enjoy live comedy.
Yeah, that Kyle Kinane, he's great.
He's great. See any live comic. I've never been to a live comedy show that I was like, man, I really wish I would have not come to this place to laugh and be happy.
You've obviously had never been to an amateur night.
Guys.
Laugh at him.
This was fun. It was more fun than I thought it would be.
You got the pick of the week, buddy.
What?
Pick of the week. You gotta give us one.
My pick of the week is that O.J. Simpson special. I'm watching it tonight. I'm excited about it. I'm all about the O.J. I'm curious.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to find his rap video that Travis is talking about, too.
It's amazing.
O.J. Simpson is my pick of the week, Drew.
Terrible. It's terrible.
Did you watch the confession thing?
No, but I've seen the rap video. It's BS.
So, yeah, we'll do it again next week. Monday again. Starting in April, we're going to Tuesdays. But if you showed up live, thanks. Michelle and Uncle Hall and...
Benny.
Benny and... Bert. Bert was there for a bit. Thanks, Bert.
McGee.
Thanks to all our Patreon supporters.
Whoever Pearl is. Thanks, Pearl. Thanks to Mike Suskey, small town boxer. His memoir, it's out now, boxermike.com. Check out his splash guards, because you don't like piss on you. It's bad.
Guns out, fun's out.
Poison lips and-
and knives, sugar, spice, everything nice, open wounds in a young boy's pride.
Thank you for listening to this installment of the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. Be sure to join us next Monday night, 9, 8 Central, on strangelabel.com. And be sure to check out all the other great shows that station offers while you're there. You can download past episodes of our lengthy catalog or enjoy other premium content on our website, found at wfodicks.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at WFODix. Email us, mike@wfodix.com or travis@wfodix.com. Let us know what you think. Let us know if you have questions or anything like that. Feedback. Feedback is great. We'd love to hear what you have to say. You can give us a call also, either while we're live or leave a message after hours at 636-487-HAND. Special thanks, as always, to our Patreon sponsors, Liquid Lozenge, Harry Balls Anya, and Brian Kranz. If you'd like to contribute yourself, it's patreon.com/WFODix. Helps us afford hosting and phone number and buying microphone holding apparatuses and what have you. We really do appreciate all of you checking it out. Thanks. From the bottom of our cold, dead hearts, thank you. We'll see you next week.
Lots of good stuff happening. It's going to be juicy. You'll see. All right. Bye for now. Take good care of yourself.